This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope that this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church. I want you to take your copy of God's Word. Can we take our copy of God's Word and just stand right where we're at? We're taking our copy, whether that's an iPad, iPhone, whatever it is, we're just taking our copy of God's Word. I've been preaching about the Holy Spirit is for you, and I want to continue that with a very, very important message. I believe this message has the potential to change your life. I believe it has the potential to transform your destiny. Our scripture reading is found in 1 Corinthians 12 and 1. Look what it says. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, we see who he's talking to, Christian people. I would not have you ignorant. Boy, that seems like a harsh word. But it only means I don't want you to be unlearned. Now get this down. Get this down. Jesus is going to come back. You've heard me say many times, we're not going to take an airplane flight. We're going to take a plain air flight. Amen? Going to leave here like Superman, come back like the Lone Ranger. Stand before my boss, take my loss, eat my supper, and come back on my horse. That's what's going to happen. All right, okay. Here's what I want you to see. Jesus is going to come back. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant about it. That's something pretty important. Don't you be ignorant about my coming back. And then he said in 2 Corinthians 2 and 11, don't you be ignorant of Satan's devices. So don't you be ignorant about my second coming. Don't you be ignorant about Satan's devices. Or don't you be ignorant or unlearned about spiritual gifts. This is God's will. God's will says, I want every one of you to understand about spiritual gifts because it's so important to your life. Years ago, I took Savannah Abigail to meet a baseball player. His name was Dale Murphy. Dale Murphy, and apparently he impacted Savannah Abigail because she later got a Yorkie, and she named the Yorkie Murphy. Dale Murphy, the wonderful player that played for the Atlanta Braves. I don't know if you know this, folks, but when Dale Murphy started playing, he was a hind catcher. He played hind catcher. There was only one problem. Every time a runner would try to steal the base, instead of throwing the runner out, Dale Murphy would throw the ball into center field. They said he's not going to make it as a hind catcher. So they moved him to first base, and he didn't do so well at first base. And then they moved him to center field. And once he got to center field, he won several gold gloves. He literally hit 398 home runs and became one of the greatest Atlanta Braves players ever to play. What happened? He got in the right spot. Hind catcher wasn't it. First base wasn't it. But I want you to know, center field was the right spot. Well, it's football time. It's football time, and there was a football player by the name of Bo Jackson. Let me tell you about Bo Jackson. Bo Jackson played high school football, but he really wasn't that great. Bo Jackson played high school, and his senior year, his team went 7-3. He wasn't anything special. He did get a scholarship to play ball at Auburn, and he was actually playing defense. Not anything to speak of. But there came a week at Auburn that three running backs got hurt. And the coach said, Bo, you're going to run the ball. He said, no, coach. I don't run the ball. I tackle the guy that's running the ball. He said, not this week. You're going to be running the ball because we've got running backs that are hurt. And Bo, you're going to run the ball. And did Bo run the ball? He ran and he ran and he ran. He became one of the greatest running backs ever. What happened? He got in the right spot. He got in the right position. Now, I want you to know something, folks. It's so important that you get in the right spot. It's so important that you get in the right position. And that's really what spiritual gifts are all about. It's about you getting in the right spot for your life. It's about you realizing you're gifted and then using that giftedness for the honor and glory of God. Now, I've got a lot of material to share, but I promise you I'm going to share it just as fast as I can. But I want you to see some things. I want you to see, first of all, the review before our spiritual gift. The review before our spiritual gift. Now, it will make sense to you in just a moment. 2 Corinthians 4 and 7 says this, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." Now, that translation says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. You know what one translation says? It doesn't say earthen vessels. And by the way, let me explain to you what an earthen vessel is. Right here. It's you. It's this body. It's this flesh. And it says, we have earthen vessels. But one translation doesn't say earthen vessels. This is what it says. It says jars of clay. Jars of clay. But I want you to know, one translation doesn't say earthen vessels. It doesn't say jars of clay. It simply says crackpots. So what are you saying? I'm saying I'm a crackpot. I'm saying you're a crackpot. So see, folks, we're just crackpots. But I want you to see something. We have this treasure, look, in crackpots, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. What's God saying? You and I are just crackpots. What makes us special is the gift that God puts in us. We're just, see, there's no reason, folks, for any arrogance in the body of Christ. There's no reason for any arrogance. I mean, sad to say, I know Christians that can strut sitting down. But there's no need for any arrogance, because the Bible says in Philippians 3 and 3, to have no confidence in the flesh. So my comment is this. Anything that you do well, it's only because the gift. It's only because the God that gave you the gift. So if there's anybody to be exalted, it's the Lord Jesus Christ and Him only. Because at the end of the day, Vern, all you are is a crackpot. And I am too. So we review before our spiritual gift. There's a second thing I want you to see. That is the renderer of spiritual gifts. See, when you come to know Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit. And He gives you at least one spiritual gift. You are a gifted child. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? Well, look what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12 and 11. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. Severally as He will. Here's what I want you to see. It's the Holy Spirit, when you come to know Christ, that gives you spiritual giftedness. Why is the Holy Spirit so important? Because He's the one who gives you the spiritual gift. Now, let me explain something. There's a difference between a spiritual gift and a talent. You get talent when you're born. You get a spiritual gift when you're born again. There's a difference between a spiritual gift and the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22 and 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Those are the attributes of the Spirit. But there's a difference between the fruit of the Spirit and a spiritual gift. Well, Pastor, what is a spiritual gift? A spiritual gift is a special attribute given by the Spirit to every member of the body to use within the context of the body. Now look, who's the receiver of spiritual gifts? The receiver of spiritual gifts. 1 Peter 4 and 10 says this, as every man hath received the gift, or every woman hath received the gift. You say, Pastor, who has spiritual gifts? Every Christian. Every Christian. See, I'll tell you what. Sometimes we say, well, I just love to entertain people. It could be an indicator you have the spiritual gift of hospitality. Pastor Benny, I just know how to read people. It could be you have the spiritual gift of discernment. Pastor Benny, I have such a positive outlook on life. You could have the spiritual gift of faith. Pastor Benny, I'm just a generous person. You know, when it comes to giving, most people stop at nothing. Some of you are slow, but you're worth waiting for. I'm just a generous person. It could be that you have the spiritual gift of giving. Because here's what I want you to see. When you came to know Christ, God gave you a spiritual gift. But according to 1 Timothy 4:14, we can neglect that gift. We can neglect that gift. Not only the receiver of spiritual gifts, but I want you to see the reason for spiritual gifts. Why does God do it? Well, look what 1 Peter 4 and 10 says. As every man or woman hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. Why does God give us spiritual gifts? So we can help one another. Did you know 49 times the Bible says one another? It says forgive one another. It says love one another. It says pray for one another. It says to encourage one another. We just need to one another. Amen? Because we need each other. That's why we need church, by the way. Because we need one another. People are not for the church. The church is for the people because we need one another. What's the reason? So we can minister to one another. And lastly, folks, so we can glorify God. God gives us the gifts that we have, not to bring glory to ourselves, but verse 11 says, He gives you the giftedness so you can glorify me. Learn to deflect the praise and give Him the glory. Because I want you to know something. Come up real close. God will share His power with you, but He's not going to share His glory with you. God will share His power with us, but He's not going to share His glory with you. No matter who you are. Let me tell you the fifth thing. Realize the impact of your spiritual gift. Realizing the impact of your spiritual gift. You know, there's somewhere between 16 and 19 spiritual gifts. You say, Pastor, I'm gonna research them. Well, the verses, I want to give you the verses that you need to go home and research. It's Romans 12, 6 through 8, 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10, 1 Corinthians 12, 28 through 30, 1 Corinthians 14, Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, and 1 Peter 4, 9 and 10. Those are the verses that deal with spiritual gifts. But I want to say something. They can be broken down into four groups. The first group is shepherding gifts. It's in Ephesians 4 and 11 and 12. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Shepherding gifts. The second group is speaking gifts. Speaking gifts. Now let me say something. They require speaking. You said, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm talking about prophecy. I'm talking about teaching. I'm talking about exhortation. I'm talking about a word of knowledge. I'm talking about a word of wisdom. They're speaking gifts. Now look, the third group is the serving gifts. Most of us will be right here. Most of a church will be right here. It's things like showing mercy. It's things like helps. It's things like hospitality, administration, giving. It's the serving gifts. And then lastly is the sign gifts. The sign gifts. It's things like miracles. Miracles. Healings. So, Pastor Benny, do you believe that people have the spiritual gift of healing unequivocally? Because the Bible teaches it. The Bible teaches it. Miracles. Healings. Tongues. The interpretation of tongues. So, well, Pastor, all these gifts, how do I know what mine is? Let me tell you a couple things maybe that would be a help to you. Number one, whatever your gift is, you will desire it. You will desire it. You will desire it in a spirit of humility. You will desire it so it will honor and glorify God. You say, where do you get that? 1 Corinthians 14 and 1. Desire spiritual gifts. That is to say, you will enjoy it. You will enjoy it. There's a second thing I'd say to you. You'll be good at it. You'll be good at it. I've heard people say, my spiritual gift is speaking. It's preaching. And I say, there's only one problem. There's nobody that has the gift of listening. You'll be good at it. What God, you said, Pastor, where do you get that? In Proverbs 18 and 16. Look what he says. A man's gift maketh room for him. No, he's not pushing the door open. God opens the door. She's not pushing the door open. A man or woman's gift, it will make room for you. It will. God will open it. God will work it out. And bringeth him before great men. You said, Pastor, I really want to know what my spiritual gift is. Well, I want to challenge you to do something. I want to challenge you to go to the website, rocksprings.info. Because when you go to the website, rocksprings.info, there's a spiritual gift assessment there. A spiritual gift assessment. And I want to encourage you to fill it out. It's going to help you determine what your spiritual gift is and where you can hook in. Now look, this is a hard copy. You could go to the Welcome Center of any of our campuses and you could get a hard copy. But I don't want you to do that. I really don't. I want you to fill it out online. You say, Pastor, why would you want me to fill it out online? Because if you fill it out online, I've got your information. Yeah, and hopefully I can get you plugged in. Amen? Too many of you for too long, your favorite song has been, I Shall Not Be Moved. We'll sing Standing on the Promises when really all we want to do is sit on the premises. No, we need to get you going. Kind of reminds me of the story of the golfer. He was out golfing. He hit a tremendous drive down the fairway. There's only one problem. It landed on a fire ant's bed. That old ball was right on top of that fire ant bed. And there was 1,000 fire ants in the bed. By the way, this is a true story. 1,000 fire ants in the bed. He took that club and he swung again, missed the ball, but killed 500 fire ants. The ball was still on the bed. He swung again. He killed 498 fire ants, but the ball was still on the bed. Finally, one fire ant said to the other fire ant, "If we're going to survive, we better get on the ball." I've been doing it a long time. And if a church is going to survive, it doesn't survive by who's in the pulpit. It survives because people realize I have a spiritual gift and I need to get on the ball because God wants to use me too. Great preachers don't build great churches. Great churches build great preachers. This is what I would encourage you to do. Next Sunday, we start our Next Steps class at 9:30. Foundation of the class is helping people identify your spiritual gift and get you plugged in. Get you plugged in. I want to encourage you to be there and be a part of it. There's a sixth thing I want you to see. That's the ramification of spiritual gifts. The ramification of spiritual gifts. This is what I know. You can neglect and not develop your spiritual gift. Let me show you a verse in Matthew 25. I was afraid and went and hid the talent in the earth. I was afraid and I hid my talent. Let me tell you something. Many times fear will keep people from doing what God wants them to do. Courage is just fear that said its prayers. John Wayne said it best. Courage is being scared to death and saddling up anyway. Everything that I've ever done in my ministry, everything that I've ever done in my life, everything in Christian work, there's always been some fear. There's always been some apprehension. There's always been some concern. Somebody said, "I'm going to wait till I'm 100% sure it's too late." I hid it. And look what happened. Verse 28 says, "Take therefore the talent from him and give it to somebody else." What does that mean, Pastor? This is what it means. I don't know what the time frame is, but apparently there comes a point you use it or lose it. Apparently there comes a point you use it or lose it. Because let me tell you something, folks. Everybody ought to be a part of a local church. Everybody ought to be a part of a local church. And you ought to be serving within that local church. That's a biblical teaching. You take your gift and you use it. Let me give you last. The rewards of spiritual gifts. Pastor Benny, if I find out what my spiritual gift is, and I start using it, what are the rewards of using my spiritual gift? First of all, it will help clarify God's will for you. Second of all, you'll benefit others. Third of all, it will give significance to your life. And fourthly, you'll glorify God. You'll glorify God. There was a piano player who played in a lounge. He just played. He just played instrumental music in a lounge. And people would come in, and he would just play. And one night in that lounge, a man said, "Sing." He said, "I don't sing. I just play." He said, "Sing." He said, I don't sing. I just play." And another guy said in the lounge, "Sing." He said, "I told you, I don't sing. I just play." And a third guy said, "Sing." And the owner of the lounge looked at the piano and said, "Those men pay the bills, and I pay you." I said, "Sing." And Nat King Cole started singing. For years, he just sat there and played. And I read that story this week. And I thought, God, I wonder what people are sitting on. I said, you know what I really believe, God? I said, there's gold in them there pews. There's gold in them there pews. Now, I'm not talking monetarily. I'm talking about, what are we setting on? What are we setting on that we ought to be using for the honor and glory of God? Now, this is what I made up my mind. I told the early service. If you said, Pastor Benny, what are you? What is this church? I'm even considering becoming a part of this church. What really is this church? What are you? Sam Chan says you're an abnormality. I don't know what that means. But I'll tell you what I think I am. I think I'm a Babacostal. No, I believe in the tenets of the faith. But let me go on record as saying, I can't take dead. I can't take dead. You say, Pastor, I'm hunting a First Baptist Frigidaire. I'm not your man. No. God wants us to be called and chosen, not cold and frozen. I'm not your man. You know why I say that, folks? Because let me tell you something. I've traveled the nation. And everywhere, you've got icicles in the pews. You've got a Dr. Jack Frost in the pulpit. But here's what I am. I want to take the Word of God, and if it's black words on white paper, I'm going to preach it. If it's black words on white paper, I'm going to preach it. It's what God says that really matters. It's what God's Word says that really matters. Because ultimately, that's who we're going to stand before anyway. Nobody else other than God. Now get this, I'm almost done. But this is what the Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands. Look here. You say, Pastor Benny, I don't really know what my gift is. Well, in biblical times, they laid hands on them and prayed, and it was revealed. They laid hands on them and prayed, and it was revealed. They laid hands and prayed, and it was revealed by the presbytery. Now look what the next verse says. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance. Stir up that gift that's in you. Stir up that gift that's in you. Stir up that gift. Some of us need that gift stirred up inside of us. Some of us have given up on church. You've given up on God. You've given up on ever serving again. Some of you have been hurt. And you say, I never want to do it again. I was in a bad situation. I've been hurt. Some of you have been hurt relationally. Some of you have been hurt in churches. Some of you have been hurt by people that were very close to you. And you say, I don't ever want to do it again. I'll tell you what you need. You need somebody to lay their hands on you, call down heaven, and stir up that gift inside you again. Let me tell you something, folks. Here's what happens. Van Lance Abner said, if a man has a glorious experience with Christ, he said, almost immediately, he has to backslide in order to have fellowship with the rest of the people in the congregation. That's an indictment on us. That's an indictment on us. Folks, we ought to stir up that gift. We ought to get excited about Jesus. Hey, I'm going to just throw this plug in here. I'm going to throw a plug in today. Hey, come up real close. The hope is not in any presidential candidate. The hope is in Jesus Christ. Jesus and Jesus only. Stir us up, God. Holy Spirit, stir us up. I pray that, God, stir us up, that we make a difference, that we'll be salt and light. Stir us up.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer. You repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that You died for my sin, and I confess my sin to You right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank You, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank You for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.